from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The top-ranked show in the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
You know what else I like, boys?
Women.
A warm
chocolate milk.
I'm married, Tyler. Woman. Woman. A, not E.
It's just an appreciation for their species.
I don't know. I don't. That's not.
You like a good cold beer?
No. Good. Yeah. Coors Light, Tyler. Coors. See, I'm into specifics. But you know what I really like?
Tell me. What you want?
A warm, moist.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
I hate that word.
Cinnamon roll.
All right. I can get with you on that. I thought you might have been going Kikuchi, but I can get with you on that.
What? I love a good cinnamon roll.
I'm telling you, boys, I just came across, social media, man. I've been good lately, right? Y'all know I've been good lately, right?
Yeah.
I'm 3+ weeks, no carbs, no sugar, no sodas, no coffee. 3+ weeks, boys. Oh, good work, Clint. Proud of you, bud. Oh, yeah, it's been hard, been tough, but I made it.
I am proud of you.
God. People who fish for gum.
There's very few.
Do it for you, buddy.
There's very few things that tempt me when I'm in a really strong spot like I am right now.
I know one.
Well, there's probably a couple.
Cornbread or biscuits, little biscuits with the honey.
Yes, but this is. I just came across an ad for Cranky Grannies.
Huh?
It's a locally owned bakery in Pflugerville, Texas.
Austin area.
And there, Ron, when I say they're her cinnamon rolls, I mean, they look tremendous.
Mm.
I don't know if I've ever seen somebody putting toppings on cinnamon rolls other than icings.
I see. Well, they had something else.
One of them was peaches and cream. One of them was blueberries and bananas and something
peaches,
else. One of them was
Hughley.
Oreo. One of them was something Oreo, cinnamon, something with cinnamon in it, which on top of the cinnamon roll, I could always, who doesn't want more cinnamon? I'm with you. As I was thinking, peaches, but then she kept working it up, and I was like, you know, I'm interested. You got my attention. You ain't sold me yet, but you got my attention. Holy cow, it's unbelievable, man. A good cinnamon roll.
They're nice size.
Oh, they're definitely good size. Oh yeah, feel the whole. I mean, just nice. I'd say
this size.
A little bigger than your fist. Well, your fist. It probably quite a bit bigger than your fist. That little hand you got. But you know what I mean. Just good, really good size.
The hell was that about?
What? I mean, everybody points out you got small hands.
No one points that out. You said,
yeah, we had a listener actually do that.
Yeah, you said that listener doesn't even know.
Said you got really small hands, man. Said your hands look small on YouTube.
I know what you're trying to do to me.
I'm just telling you, man.
I'm not gonna.
I'm just telling you.
said, damn. So
bad news there on Ron's small hands.
I don't have small hands.
Bad news. Got a little rough news on the Texans front, boys. Bad weather today at practice up in Cleveland. It was a defensive dominant practice today from all reports that we've received so far. And we'll hear from Jonathan Alexander from the Chronicle at 4:40, a little later this hour, so stay plugged in. He's boots on the ground there as well. Apparently it was a defensive dominant day. Derek Stingley went out there, had him a couple of picks. My boy Kalen Bullock had him a nice pick, from what I understand. Azeez Al-Shaair had him a pick yesterday, I think it was. Defense is rocking and rolling. But at some point in practice today, Titus Howard, right tackle. As I've said before, right now what we know and what we feel confident in is the receivers and the quarterback and the ability to toss the ball around the park. And we're pretty confident in our two tackles when they're healthy, especially as it pertains to allowing C.J. Stroud to toss it around the park. We have yet to see Laramie Tunsil because of, I think it's just a slow introduction to camp.
Yeah, knee scope.
But had a knee scope in the offseason. We've seen Titus Howard throughout, but today apparently went down with an injury, walked under his own power off the field to the tent area, and then left the tent area on a cart back to the facility. I believe I have those details right. If I don't, Titus, I apologize. Just shoot us a tweet and correct us. There was a report out there, little headline porn got him, that Titus Howard was carted off the field. And Titus,
oh God!
Titus must not have been the treatment that he was getting after the tweak or whatever must not have been too intense, because he took to the phone and to the Twitter sphere and said, "I thought I walked off the
field. Damn, I thought I walked off."
So I'm in a spot, Ron, where with Titus Howard, I feel like there's a good chance we see him back out there tomorrow. I think if you look at the fact that today was a rough practice because of weather, Bobby Slowick actually talked about the offensive line having a hard time with their sets because the traction was an issue. You could understand why, if anything at all went wrong with a player, you'd go ahead and just send them in. And if you send them in, the weather's bad, you'd put them on a cart instead of asking them to walk. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not going to overreact. I think there's a chance that Titus Howard is back tomorrow. But, Ron, in the first segment today, you raised a really, really good question. If there's no Laramie Tunsil, which there's no way he's going to play Friday without practicing in pads at all to this point. So there's no Laramie Tunsil. And if this injury to Titus Howard ends up being something that forces him to miss camp time and forces him to miss Friday's game, you're down your two starting tackles. You've got a rookie in Blake Fisher that's got a lot of run. And then you've got a handful of journeyman tackles below him that may or may not make the cut.
Including one who just arrived.
Yeah. Cam Irving, is that right?
Cam Irving just arrived.
Which he's bounced around the league. I'm not sure exactly how much he started and how much quality play he has, but he's bounced around the league for 9 years, so he clearly has a little something to him. But, Ron, I don't think that this in any way, shape, or form is gonna impact the decision of whether C.J. Stroud plays Friday or not. But I do think it's something that's going to need to be schemed around, planned around, and in C.J. Stroud's head, damn sure taken into account as they do go out there and get a little bit of run.
Yeah. To me, I think it's a fair thing. If there is a thought in your mind, and you're a Texans fan, and it is this important, which this season is this important, you feel like you got a chance to go to a place you've never been, the AFC Championship game, maybe the Super Bowl. And your thought is, hey, Titus ain't playing, Laramie ain't playing, CJ ain't playing in preseason games. I think that's very fair and not crazy at all. And there may be people who say, oh, they're wusses, whatever. No, I can understand that if you are saying, I don't want a rookie in Blake Fisher, who has been getting taken advantage of and struggling a bit at times, facing some of the guys they're facing, to potentially face, T.J. Watt for a couple of go-arounds, or Highsmith for a couple of go-arounds, and even more, either a Cam Irving who just arrived and practiced for the first time on Monday, or Sharp, who is a journeyman young guy that may not make the team. I can understand if your thoughts are, I don't want those guys –
to be the starting tackles if CJ's there. My thinking is, where I would go with you, Clint, is, hell, I think they're going to probably have to be prepared for CJ to have to run into games where he is having Blake Fisher as a tackle, where they may not have Laremy, where they may not have Titus Howard, especially if it's anything close to what last year, where they had so many injuries up front. And I do think it is important for those two guys and Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green to get reps, real reps, in-game reps with C.J. Stroud as well. So to me, if your thought process wasn't off the top, like I think the Jets are, that, you know, Aaron ain't playing, that C.J. wasn't playing, if you thought he was going to play, I still think you get him those reps.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's off the table. Like you said, I it's not crazy. I wouldn't be mad at him if they said, look, we're not going to put C.J. out there right now. I mean, even if they didn't give us a reason, you got to believe that it has a lot to do with no Joe Mixon, no Titus Howard, no Laremy Tunsil. Now, if Titus Howard could very well be back tomorrow on this, and you got Blake Fisher opposite, he's filling in for Laremy Tunsil, which has been in the case all camp, right? And so from a standpoint of, forget the fact that he's taking all the reps for Laremy Tunsil, forget the fact that he's a rookie this year, just look at the line that could potentially be in front of C.J. Stroud this Friday. I think everybody's going to be fairly confident in where the offensive line is, with the exception of Blake Fisher. Folks hadn't seen him. Not a whole lot of reports out there. There's some that he's holding his own kind of deal. But nonetheless, Blake Fisher would be at your blindside tackle, would be your one guy that may concern you a bit with C.J. Stroud out there. Here is the most recent report from Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, on where that swing tackle, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish tackle Blake Fisher, where he's at right now.
Yeah, he's out there competing, you know, just like the rest of the crew. That's, I mean, I think we say it endlessly, but I mean, we really preach that to the whole group just tirelessly. That's what this is about. It's about going out and every day growing and getting better than you were the day before. And by the time week one rolls around, we know we're going to be ready. But in the meantime, all we can do is get better every day. And Blake has done that. In pass pro, he particularly has made some technique adjustments that have helped him, for sure. The rushers he's going against have helped him. I know he's had a lot of conversations with them on what they're thinking, what they're doing. And, you know, talking to other old linemen has obviously helped him. And then the run game for us is just very different than where he came from college. But he's been doing a good job. He's bought in, and really right now I'd say he's probably a little further ahead in the run game than the pass game. But he's just got to put his head down and keep growing.
Well, there's you, and that's a great transition there, because I do want to talk about the run game. There's your report on Blake Fisher. It seems like they're happy with his growth, not huge expectations for the rookie, but they're comfortable with him being in there, obviously. Look, last week the quarterback, especially Davis Mills, had plenty of room to operate. I think there was one blown assignment, obviously, where a defensive end or a linebacker came free, but with the exception of that, Davis Mills had more than enough room to operate. Now, imagine you're going to see some of the Pittsburgh Steelers starters, so maybe a little different. Little different chaos up front for the quarterback to deal with and the offensive line to deal with. But nonetheless, I do believe, Ron, if this week, being the first time that C.J. Stroud is out there, being how important it is that interior offensive line gets some work, being how important it is that we see who Damian Pierce is, D'Amico Ryans was on with, I think it was Good Morning Football guys or some of the NFL Network guys yesterday, and boy, he was gushing about Damian Pierce and about how excited he is to see him play and this week and get some run. And so regardless of what happens at the tackle position, I believe that there's going to be a focus on running the football and getting downhill, running the football this week with starters playing. Here's Bobby Slowick on that the running back room. And I think the first three guys he talks about here is got the potential to really, really turn me on if things work, if the stars align for this group. Here's Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, it's a fun group to coach. You know, Joe kind of leads the way, even though he hasn't been practicing. His energy's always there. He's always around. He's even when we're on the field, he's running around the huddle, getting people hyped up. You know, so he's the driving force for sure. And then the rest of the crew kind of feeds off that. You know, Damian's feeding off that. He's putting his head down, working. He's made huge strides from where he was at last year and what he's grown in and what he's trying to do. Cam is obviously the newest to the crew, but he's been running a lot of very similar stuff in L.A. for a long time, and then in Minnesota they did, it was pretty similar as well. So it's not completely new to him, and he picked it up quick. You can see the talent and the vision and the cutting ability, you know, which is impressive coming off the two injuries he had. So he's been fun. Boner
alert. No question. Ron, if you're a Texans
fan. Newest to the crew, baby.
Come on, man. If you're a Texans fan, and look, this may be a pipe dream because there's a lot of ifs here, but clearly, you just listen to that piece of audio right there, clearly there ain't nothing wrong with Joe Mixon. I mean, he's running around being the hype guy.
Like,
I mean, if it was a quad or a hip, whatever it was, he damn sure ain't worried about it at this point. Damian Pierce, that's the second coach talking about the progress that Damian Pierce has made and how tremendous it is. And I mean, they're putting their word on it. And then you look at Cam Akers and all of a sudden vision, make you miss ability, cut ability, whatever the hell it was that Bobby said there, knows the offense. Man, that running back room right there. Now, there's some other guys there, obviously. I feel bad leaving Dari Agunbowale out because he's been around for a while. And I saw his sister just flat out ball in the WNBA All-Star game. But nonetheless, those
Is
top,
that his sister?
Are you giving me a serious question?
I didn't know that was his sister.
Absolutely, it's his sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I knew his sister. I knew his sister was in the league. I had no idea that.
I did not know that was his sister.
That's her, Chief.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, she can go. But that running back room as a Texans fan, Ron, assuming everybody can stay healthy, or hell, even if they don't and you need to spell each other a little bit, you got those three guys as your top three choices, that can get you good and worked up.
No, it should be better. Like we talked about it. How are they going to improve from what it was with basically at the end of the year, Devin Singletary and whatever they used Damian Pierce as, whatever he was, which was just non-usable. How much will they improve this year? And when you think about Joe Mixon, even though we haven't seen him, if you judge by how they're talking about him, he seems to be fine. And now that's what I can't wait to see. Y'all, a lot of people have talked about it. That's what I thought we was going to see on Thursday was Damian Pierce. Does he look different as a back? Does he seem to have picked up whatever he wasn't picking up more fluently? And then I think we saw a pretty good play from the backs in the Hall of Fame game that did play last week. So that should be, I'll be honest, it may be one of the more improved rooms from last year to this year.
Yeah,
on the team, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like with Mixon and if Damian Pierce is completely turned himself,
I mean,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, hell, it's, I mean, what room on this football team would even be close? I mean, you look at, now that you say it, I hadn't thought much about it like that, but Joe Mixon is a clear upgrade from your number one, Devin Singletary. I mean, I don't know who that was a couple weeks ago that said they'd rather have Singletary than Sweat or something like that, but whatever. Clear, huge jump in the right direction with Mixon. If Damian Pierce gets
who ended
up there,
was the backup last year, but that version of Damian Pierce has to be completely different.
Yeah, too. I mean, look, you get 2022 Damian Pierce, he's better than Devin Singletary last year. And then all of a sudden, Cam Akers, you get a healthy Cam Akers, that's your number three guy. Ooh, look out now. So, yeah, I would say that's
Dari was kicking more than he was.
And the highlight of his year, baby.
He was running. Yeah. All right, Tyler, I think this is your fault. I was gung-ho and ready to do the lineups under one condition. And I think your harassment of Captain Joe Espada throughout the year has probably stopped that from happening. The lineup is out. We'll let you hear what that is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and didn't get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Get all this little funk.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
When is the next episode of the Big Orange Wagon?
That will be...
Big Orange Blue Wagon. Big Orange...
For the
Big
pleasure Orange. Of your ears, tomorrow evening. Wednesday.
Wednesday, huh? All right.
Chew, chew.
Good. Good. That'll be one to be waiting for. You better wait for it every week. Get some good action between Tyler Milner and our guy... Patrick Creighton. So stay tuned for that Blue Orange
Wagon. I guarantee you there's some passion in there.
I guarantee you. Some good, good, hearty passion. And speaking of passion, my man's Tyler Milner texted me earlier. He said, hey, earlier in the day, man, we need the lineups. We need something. We need something to get them out of this funk. Yes. That Captain Joe Espada said, you guys are even using the same words. Get us out of this funk. Get this stench of bad hitting. It's been bad, dog.
Oh, it's been it's nightmarish.
Bad. I mean, they needed extra innings to get to three yesterday. It's been bad. And I said, you know what? I'm with you. I was ready. I was sold out, ready to go. I said, under one condition. I'll do it under one condition, and if that is if Jake Myers is out of the lineup.
I screwed it up.
Jake's fighting it, man. He needs a day. I don't know why. He doesn't get a day like a lot of others do, but Jake needs a day. I looked since July 27th. He's 3-for-26 with one walk.
Goo!
But since the All-Star break, he's hit 170 with 9 hits, a homer, 4 RBIs, 3 runs, an OPS of 456.
It sucks.
But he's running out there every day. He's running out there every day. Here is the lineup. Altuve leading off at second. Bregman at third. Alvarez is in left field with Diaz catching. Pena at shortstop. Singleton at first base. And then Zach attack. Zach DiZenzo is the designated hitter tonight. So he gets called up and immediately gets into the game. He's the DH tonight with Jake Myers batting eighth. In center field. Sorry, Tyler. And then Chaz McCormick is back on the saddle, bat ninth.
Oh, my God. I really wish Chaz would have got a night off.
Well, you got one of them, but Cabbage isn't.
Rough last one.
Chaz, but that is the lineup tonight. So Jake is in that thing, so no lineup.
So you're not going to do the lineup tonight because Jake's in it?
Man.
I made that very clear.
What do we make of serious
question? I screwed
up. Serious question.
Made it very clear.
First, I had to get over 500.
What do we make? I need my next level baseball heads out there.
The Spolanes of the world.
Well, no, Patrick I'm not Reed. Saying. I, no, baseball that, that, that's not who I, that's not who I'm referring to. I'm not referring to anybody in particular other than the folks that think they know every damn thing about baseball. Now, I don't know who that may be, but there's a bunch of them out there. I need somebody to help me make sense of. I need somebody to help me make sense of why when they call a guy up, they just throw his ass in the lineup.
Baptism by fire. I guess
they didn't do that to Pedro Leon. He waited a few days. He was forced to wait a few days.
Well, I mean, like,
but that Hummel fella came right in.
Well, how do you justify? Like, how do you justify the decision when given this particular situation, you never see the guy? Litmus Diaz.
He did. He started right away.
Have we seen him since? Have we seen him since?
I was about to say, we ain't seen him since.
Like, how does that?
Greg Kessinger is the only one who doesn't get this. Well, no, actually, he did. He came back. He was brought up from Sugar Land one time and immediately started.
Like, what? But, I mean, how does... What does that say about your decision making? Right? I mean, we're just randomly bringing guys up, and it's the minute they touch down at Minute Maid, we're throwing them in the game. I know they're in Arlington, y'all. You get my point.
I know they're saying it's that bad. We need a spark.
What told you a Litmus Diaz needed to be in the lineup the minute you signed his ass?
I think
this lineup has been awful, like Ron just said, for a handful of days, particularly the bottom of this lineup. Litmus Diaz ain't. I don't recall seeing him. I hadn't watched every damn game.
I think he's just saying, let's give somebody else a shot.
But you're giving guy like you gave him one shot.
Yeah,
from the Gulf Coast League or the Florida Complex.
That's
League.
My issue is, like, I think there has got to be some consistency somewhere. And if there ain't going to be some consistency somewhere, then Jake's ass should be out here every single day.
Like, well, if they're really like, hung up on Jake.
I'm sorry, man. The treatment of Jake Myers has blown me away compared to what they've done with other players over the years.
Oh, I agree. Like, I agree wholeheartedly.
Like, sitting over there, like, Jake gets months. He gets every opportunity to be Jake. And he's had about a 26-day period where he was like, "Well, wow, okay, at the plate, there we go." Other than that, he keeps getting running out there.
I am with you on the Jake Myers deal. I am 100% with you on the Jake Myers deal. I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I thought when he turned the corner and just got red hot that maybe this is what they've seen, and he has gone. You know, like you said, that was a flash in the pan, relatively speaking. I don't get the infatuation with him as a prospect and the advanced stats of the defensive stuff that y'all were going back. I don't get all that. But I'm talking about the decision maker. What are you accomplishing when you bring up Litmus Diaz and plug him in? What are you accomplishing when you bring up this DeZenzo kid and you just immediately throw him? What is the end game?
I literally think it's a combination of let's see what they got. But I think it's an unfair thing, and it's multiple people making the decision. I think it's an unfair thing to just say, hey, let's see what you got. And then that let's see what you got is not followed by multiple days. Like Pedro Leon strikes out three times yesterday, and when's the next time we're going to see him? And you just brought him up. I'm cool, but nobody's going to get in the groove. You ain't going to find out nothing even about this kid if he doesn't play the next several days. But, I mean, baseball this ain't basketball where you can just come off the bench for about 10 minutes and just light it up immediately. No, I mean, you're going to need some at-bats if you're going to find out. And that's been my biggest thing with the bottom of the order and the decisions of yo-yoing on who is going to start, who is not, is there's nobody who gets in any kind of a rhythm.
We'll get all this little funk.
Except Jake. Of those type players. There's nobody who gets to get in a rhythm. All right, hey, like the pressure is on this kid tonight. You better come up with a couple of hits. If he comes with a couple of hits, he may play tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
If he goes 0-for-4 like Pedro Leon did, he may not play for the rest.
Yeah. I hope it's just, which I don't know. I'm hoping it because it clearly is. I mean, I hope these guys don't. I mean, it's not just throw against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, there's no method.
I think there's a bit of it.
Oh, I do. I would be willing to bet you that that's the route we're finna go.
Finna.
Yeah, well, because it hadn't been necessarily youngsters, but it's been Singleton and Dubon and Chaz
Hummel
McCormick
and Cabbage and
right.
They've thrown him. They've thrown this. They're gonna throw this up against the wall. Can they just throw him up against the wall for about 4 days, 5 days to really get a sense of it?
Mm-mm.
Think Pedro León plays tomorrow? Isn't that what you said? Well, just throw him in right field until Tucker comes back.
Yeah. I think he plays tomorrow.
Not if this kid gets hit, they're fine.
Well, he's DHing, baby. He's in field. He's
somebody DHing. Else. Then, but they got to do something else. Somebody. Yeah, it's a wild thing to me. Yeah, someone said Jake is who he is. Doesn't change his stripes. He's let you know exactly where he is and who he is. All right, coming up, Jonathan Alexander from the Houston Chronicle. He was there. And has been at training camp with the Houston Texans in Ohio. We'll get his thoughts on what he's been seeing. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Good luck tonight, Jake Myers. Let's set across.
Would you feel bad or something about your comments all day long about Jake Myers?
He'd probably do better if you do the Astros lineup later.
I don't think it matters.
All right.
Okay. Good luck, Jake.
You don't mean it. I mean, why do you say things you everybody listening knows you don't
That's
mean?
Cool. I do mean it. If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it. Good luck, Jake. Good luck. All right. Joining us now, he is with the Texans. We saw him this weekend in Canton, Ohio, as he was there covering everything and has been covering this team as they've continued training camp, getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, and he is there every step of the way with the Houston Texans. And real quick, just your visual, what you saw in what kind of became a big story. I think the headlines was that Titus Howard was carted off. I'm just curious what you saw and how severe that injury seemed from your standpoint.
Yeah, I want to get to that, Ron, but I first wanted to address the fact that I saw y'all were out in Cleveland and didn't invite me. I want to know what's going on with that, Ron and Clint.
Oh, okay. Well, damn. I mean, you want to jump right in here. I mean, listen, Jonathan. Wow.
Huh?
I'm gonna be a leader here, and I'm telling you, that's on me. That's on me. You got that dangly earring, which I know it tells a story. I know that means you get there's something in there, Jonathan, where you may have fit right on in. That's on me. That's on me. You know what? We could have made that happen. We did. We had a good time in Cleveland hanging out, and that's on us, Clint.
I mean, look, no. You said it right the first time. It's on you. Don't throw up
right.
us
I'll
in there late. See, I mean, the last time I saw you, Jay, wow. I was working. I was prepping for that post game. These two guys being Fig and Ron, they were just jackassing around. So they had plenty of time to get down there and break a little bread and invite you, man.
That's on me.
Sorry about that for my guys not taking care of business, man. It won't happen again.
I just wanted some acknowledgement. So we can get down to the business. Titus looked like he suffered a little bit of an injury. Couldn't exactly see what happened, but I don't think it was too serious because he jogged off the field, went into the blue medical tent, and then there might have been a little bit of a misconception about the way things were interpreted. I mean, he got on a golf cart on his own power, and they kind of took him up away from the field out of the area of view. He acknowledged on Twitter, on X, that he was that he walked off. So it didn't seem like it was super serious. But the fact that he didn't finish practice is always a concern anytime that happens.
Having been there, Jonathan, would you think that we see him again tomorrow and he plays this week? Or do you think that's something where they may protect him and give him that Laramie Tunsil treatment for another week?
Yeah, I think it's most likely, just given how close we are to the game, that he would probably sit. Also, he's coming off that injury. He's one of the veterans. They know how he plays. He's a good, solid starter at right tackle. I would think that it would be more likely that he would sit. I don't have knowledge of that, but just knowing that this is not an important game for them, that D'Amico does want to get the players reps, but they don't have to necessarily play him. So I would think that they would be on the safe side.
Well, with that, Jonathan, and we talked about it on the show today, with Tunsil sitting out,
and potentially Howard out. Any way do you think that would affect the status of C.J. Stroud coming up on Friday?
That's a great question, and it's one I hadn't quite thought about until you mentioned that. But I do think if Titus wasn't playing, then they would reconsider playing C.J. Stroud. The last thing you want to do is your franchise quarterback to get hurt. If Stroud is out, there's a significant drop-off in talent level. The Texans become a great team to an average team without C.J. Stroud. So, yeah, I think if Titus doesn't play, then I think that they would probably reevaluate whether they would play C.J. Stroud. Having said that, I still think there's a chance, and I know that they like what they've seen from Blake Fisher. He's played well. If Stroud does play, I think it'd only be a series or two at max.
All right, let's jump into this action that's taken place the last couple of days, man. I mean, we were talking a little earlier, and I just, Jonathan, I can't help but the lens that I've watched practice through, it Derek Stingley was getting the ball thrown over his head, a couple of guys getting behind him early in camp. I don't know if that's just early in camp and we're just easing into this thing or what, but since the day that the little scuffle went on with him and Dalton Schultz, it seems like Stingley has turned it up a notch. It seems like he's gone out with a chip on his shoulder. It seems like he is. He said, "To hell with it, just be in camp. Y'all gonna quit throwing the ball my direction. If not, you're gonna learn the hard way." And he obviously had a hell of a day today in that bad weather. Just your thoughts on Derek Stingley so far?
Oh yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with you. I think he's on a mission. I think I was talking to him 1-on-1 a week ago, and I was asking him about the Dalton Schultz fight, and he said he just felt a little disrespected. And I think that's kind of the mentality he's taking. You know, he and Dalton Schultz have since worked it out, but I think that he's taking on the mentality that he's so disrespected, he should get more respect. I think secretly deep down that everybody's
Jonathan? Damn, he must be really pissed.
Way to go, Ron.
Really pissed that we didn't invite him. I was really really hopeful to hear what the rest of his answer was going to be. Damn, man, he called us out.
I might have to dig up that 1-on-1 with Derek Stingley.
Me too.
If he's already put it out.
Yeah, I wanted to hear when he said they've worked it out. You said that they was going to have to do that. I wonder who stepped up to the plate to the table. I bet you D'Amico probably went in there and said, "Hey fellas, we got to sit down here. We got to sit down here and work this out."
I think Dalton
willingly walked up there and did it?
Yeah, Dalton's got a little bit of a different swag's not the word. He's got just a little bit of a different way about himself that is much more, I think, professional. Like you hear him talk about video games and all this kind of stuff, and kind of, I don't know. He just seems to be like a much more mature dude, much more professional dude than I guess I thought he was. I don't know what the hell that means, to be honest with you. I had nothing to base it on. But it seems like he would be the one to understand. I don't think Stingley gives a rip, but he would be the one to understand, like, hey, I need to go clear the air. If not for me, if not for Stingley, for the team as a whole. So I'm interested to hear those details.
That is one thing, though, about sports and teams like that. Like, you can look at something like that, what happened, dude come from behind and get you.
Hell yeah.
Like, we may just be done forever. But in those settings, like, there is a – guys could just leave – like crazy stuff that said on the field as, hey, that was just ball. Like I've heard Zaire Franklin of the Colts talk about Dalton Schultz and how they was just talking hard trash the whole way. And then after the game, they shake each other up, man. Right, hey, right, man, right. It's just ball. It's just ball. So guys have that ability to kind of let that go. All right, man, we lost Jonathan Alexander as he is, he's in Ohio covering the Texans, so maybe there was just some sort of a communication failure there. I was ready to ask him about what he's seeing from John Metchie. that was what, because listen, you get to see videos of just one thing, as we saw a video on him with John Metchie making a move and dropping the ball earlier. But I'm wondering what people are seeing there, because
Listen, the way we're looking at it, man, it looks like John Metchie may be in trouble in terms of making this team. I was wondering from him how it is looking as he is there in Ohio watching the last couple of days, because it's tough. As you said, we're hearing guys around him have big days or good days, and then there's just John Metchie.
Well, it's just not, Ron, it's just not like coaches and general managers, and I understand why they do it, but they all talk about don't get caught up in the day-to-day, man. Look at the big picture, man. Stack days, do this, get better, build a foundation. And in reality, man, especially when you're a position that has multiple on the field at one time, right? You just, sure, you're going to have opportunities to get on the field, but how many times is the ball going to come your way, right? Like John Metchie did not get the same opportunities that Xavier Hutchinson had for whatever reason. But he had a chance with one slant route on a third down to make a catch and continue a drive and didn't get it done. And so it's just when you're talking about individual players in camp that are trying to establish themselves and are running out of time, camp's quick, man. It ain't the hell with that big picture, man. See it all, stack days. Don't get so mad at yourself in one day. Yeah, you know what? Will Anderson can use the lesson of, hey, man, don't get mad at yourself because you screwed up, you jumped off sides, right? John Metchie can't.
No, he can't. John Metchie can't have drops in practice.
Exactly.
That catches cameras, like, I mean, he can't.
I mean, we can talk about camp, in the mindset of Will Anderson and relate it to everybody if you want to, but it's inaccurate. I mean, Will Anderson needs to stack days. Will Anderson needs to stay healthy. Will Anderson needs to get out there and work on some of the, you know, it's okay if he gets his ass whooped while he's working on his pass rush skills because he's working on something. Hey, I mean, you got John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson. I mean, anybody below him, Sims, all these other receivers. I mean, you got.
But you look at it, though, for him, in his case, you got Hutchinson, who in the game at the same time as him, and I know you said for whatever reason, I think there a reason could be that the quarterbacks were much more comfortable with him.
100%.
And he was creating more separation. Why. Yeah, and yes, and he was creating more separation as a reasoning. But we see Hutchinson have him a day in front of everybody in the game. Ben Skoranek made some plays in that game and has shined at times in practice. As you said, Robert Woods, we've heard since they've been practicing yesterday in Ohio, he's had some good practice days. Those are the guys that you're in the space with, and it's just been, they have all had moments that people can point to,
yeah,
that we can look at, and like, hey, that moment for you needs to come, like very, 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 very quickly. And I don't know. I mean, this to me, his situation on this team, and I know you were in the thoughts of, boy, it may be problematic for him, but it has appeared to just have dropped even more in like the last 4 or 5 days.
Well, the interesting thing about all these receivers is that the signing of Diggs made it difficult on everybody. Right. Obviously, there's one fewer position available for the guys that are unproven. But now you've got a veteran that's going to come eat up a big chunk of the reps because he's got to learn the offense. Right. And so, I mean, he's going to get all the attention from the coaches. Like, the need to get John Metchie ready is way down the priority list for this receiving coach.
Yes.
And for Bobby Slowick. Whereas if there's no Diggs, right,
it's a priority.
Let Nico be. Keep Tank healthy. I got to find me a dude that can contribute in a big way right now. And so I'm staying after practice with Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson, all these guys, trying to find that diamond in the rough, trying to find that needle in the haystack, if you will. Boy, that changed big time when Diggs became a member of this football team. Yep. So we'll see how it all unfolds, but it's getting more and more. I'm telling you, it's the approach of big picture, 30,000-foot view, that don't work for guys – on the bottom half of this roster.
Well, that picture has shrinked very quickly here in about the last week for John Metchie. All right, coming up, we'll get you ready for game 2 in Arlington. The Astros need to get this. Do not want to lose this series to the Rangers. It is a Framber Valdez night, so we'll get you ready for that, as well as other news and notes here with the Texans as they were at practice. A lot of guys potentially could miss
that preseason game on Friday. We'll tell you about the injury list and an injury to one of the big stars in the NFL that's going to put him out for the preseason. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.